Now that we've examined the false theories related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what are the evidences for the bodily resurrection of Christ? And we've already seen some of these, but I want for us to notice some particular evidences for the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number one, no body was ever found as indisputable evidence against the resurrection. No body has ever been found. Now, Jesus told the Jewish leaders that they would not be able to find his body. I want you to notice this in John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verses 33 and 34. John chapter 7, verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Jesus told the Jewish leaders they would not be able to find his body. The Jewish leaders produced propaganda instead of a body, even as we've seen in Matthew 28. Their propaganda presupposes an empty tomb. No propaganda would be necessary if Jesus' body was still in the grave somewhere. The Jewish leaders only produced an explanation, not a body. Second evidence for the bodily resurrection of Christ, Christ presented himself alive to hundreds of people. Jesus Christ presented himself alive to hundreds of people. If you have hundreds of witnesses in a court of law, there will be no problem at all presenting the case. Jesus Christ presented himself alive to hundreds of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Here we see a listing of some of the appearances that Jesus Christ made after his resurrection. And it says here again, verse 4, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Now, first of all, women discovered the empty tomb. Women, first and foremost, discovered the empty tomb. So notice a couple of these passages. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 and following. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Notice also Luke 23. Luke chapter 23 and 24. Luke chapter 23. We see another reference here to these women who saw the empty tomb. Luke chapter 23, verse 55, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, the women, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then Peter went to the tomb. Notice also John chapter 20, we see a specific person mentioned here, Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Consider also verse 10 then. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. The disciples, I should say. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, why is this significant? In Jewish culture, women were not allowed to serve as legal witnesses in most cases. Socially, women were considered to be second-class citizens. If the resurrection story was only a legend, it would have been men who discovered the empty tomb to give the story credibility in this culture. They would not have referenced here women in all of the Gospels. Now, Jesus appeared specifically to the Apostle Peter. Luke chapter 24 has a reference to this in addition to 1 Corinthians 15:5. Luke chapter 24 and verse 34. Luke 24, 34, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Notice here, the Lord specifically appeared to Simon Peter, to the Apostle Peter. Jesus presented himself alive to 12 on more than one occasion. John chapter 21, verse 14. John chapter 21 and verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. This is the third time. So Jesus Christ presented himself alive to the apostles on three different occasions. Matthias would have been included in these appearances. It's interesting. 1 Corinthians 15:5 refers to the 12. Judas was already dead. Of course, he was not a part of the disciples at the time of the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians 15:5 includes Matthias as a part of the apostles. Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 gives the requirements for an apostle. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So we see here that Matthias was indeed included in the 12, the 12 apostles. Jesus presented himself alive to more than 500 people at one time. Now, this is probably in Galilee. I want you to see there's several references to Galilee in relation to the resurrection. First of all, Matthew chapter 26, I believe, as you compare Scripture with Scripture, this is the account, the counting of the 500 brethren at once, more than 500. It says in verse 30, And when they had sung in him, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, remember this is before the crucifixion, before the arrest even. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Also then notice chapter 28, verse 7. Matthew 28, verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 10 then. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Also verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Also Mark 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 28. Mark chapter 14 and verse 28. Here Jesus says, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Mark 16, verse 7. Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. Again, many references here to Galilee. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Also again, 1 Corinthians 15, 6 talks about above 500, more than 500 brethren at once. Jesus appeared to his unbelieving brother, James. John chapter 7, verse 5 says that Christ's half-brothers, in essence, did not believe on him. John chapter 7, verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. But what is interesting is there's reference to his brothers, his brethren, in Acts chapter 1, praying with the believers. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5 speaks of the brethren, the Lord's brothers, as in the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, as Paul is defending his rights as a preacher of the gospel, says, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? So we see here that the brethren of Jesus Christ finally believed in the Lord after the resurrection. The apostle Paul personally saw the glorified Christ. We've already seen this in Acts chapter 9. He saw him on the road to Damascus, even as Paul says that he was as one born out of due time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So we see here the apostle Paul personally saw the glorified Christ. I said, no body was ever found. Jesus Christ presented himself alive to hundreds of people, more than enough witnesses, even in a court of law today. Number three, the apostles were willing to die for the truth of the resurrection. Now, a Muslim is willing to die for Islam because he believes it is the truth. Only a fool dies for what he knows is a lie. Now, the apostles only had to renounce faith in Christ and stop preaching to avoid persecution. But you see this in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, I believe this is one of the most powerful evidences of the resurrection, the glorified resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, threaten the apostles, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Notice here they're calling Jesus Christ God. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that told them to go preach the gospel. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. All right, so all they had to do was stop preaching and they could have avoided persecution. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. They boldly proclaimed the word of God, the truth of the resurrection, even though they had been threatened with punishment, greater punishment for doing so. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. All right, so now they're arrested here, verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. May this be said of us, that we have filled our communities with our doctrine. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. All they had to do is stop preaching, and they could have avoided all of this persecution. Also verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They could have avoided this if they had simply stopped preaching about the resurrection. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. All the apostles had to do was renounce faith in Jesus Christ and stop preaching to avoid this persecution. They were willing to lose everything for Christ, including their lives. Fatigue and suffering would have diminished any deceit and falsehood if they were promoting a lie. Only a fool dies for what he knows is a lie. Number four, fourth evidence for the bodily resurrection of Christ. First century Jewish leaders did not produce any written refutation of the resurrection. In fact, the only types of things that you find are Josephus supporting the miracles and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The existence of Christianity indicates that the founder is alive. Notice with me Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Here Jesus Christ gives the promise regarding the church. Matthew 16, 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Consider also Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 29 and following. Again, we see Peter and the other apostles answering and saying, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Now, let me pause there a moment. I believe Gamaliel is, in essence, saying that this will be the same thing. This following of Jesus will be the same as Theudas and this Judas. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The existence of Christianity gives evidence that the founder is still alive. How could 12 fearful, unbelieving, and disappointed men turn the world upside down? Acts chapter 17 and verse 6 says, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. They were making an impact upon the known world. The whole known world was impacted by the spread of Christianity within the first few centuries after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number 6, another evidence of the resurrection, devout Jews changed their day of worship from Saturday, the Sabbath, to the first day of the week. Listen to me, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So we see there that they met upon the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, even as far as this special offering here, this collection for the saints. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Even as we see the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, skeptics claim that Constantine the Great established Sunday as an observance of the pagan sun god in the 4th century. But there is clear evidence outside the Bible that the first day was observed during early Christianity. For example, Ignatius of Antioch, in AD 112 approximately, stated that Christians observed the Lord's Day, not the Sabbath. Justin Martyr, about AD 160, affirmed, quote, "Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly." Tertullian, writing about AD 197, said that we devote Sunday to rejoicing for a far different reason than sun worship. So devout Jews changed the day of worship from Saturday, the Sabbath, to the first day of the week. Number 7, the authenticity of the New Testament supports the resurrection of Christ. Now, the authenticity of the Gospels can reasonably be proven. False religions deify their heroes. The Gospels present the faults of Christ's disciples. I believe that's evidence that these are not legends. If the Gospels were forged by those who wrote in the name of an apostle, there were many eyewitnesses still alive who could verify that they were false. So again, as far as these forged false Gospels, most of the false Gospels about Jesus were written in the 2nd and 3rd centuries after all of the apostles were gone. There's a significant reason for that. You see, the apostles were still alive and could easily prove that these false Gospels were heresy. In fact, Dan Brown in the Da Vinci Code is 1,900 years too late. Grammatically, the burial and resurrection accounts form a continuous narrative. Now, if the resurrection of Jesus was added later, there would have been a break in the flow of the record found in the Gospels. So that's just some of the things that point to the authenticity of the Gospels. There is external evidence indicating that the New Testament was completed in the first century after Christ. Let me give you some examples of this. Luke and Acts were completed before the death of the Apostle Paul. Now, I believe Luke would have included Paul's execution if it had already taken place. So I believe the evidence of Luke in Luke and Acts points to the fact that there's an early date for its writing. The Gospel of Mark does not refer to the high priest by name, indicating that Caiaphas was still serving. I want you to see this in Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 14, verses 60 through 64. "And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death." Now let me just give you an example of this. If I was to refer to the President of the United States, it would be common understanding that I am referring to the current president. Here we see that Mark does not mention Caiaphas by name. So that tells us Caiaphas, who held this office of high priest from AD 18 to 37, was still serving in that office. The gospel accounts reveal a knowledge of Jerusalem before its destruction in AD 70. If the destruction of Jerusalem had already taken place, then I believe the four gospels would have referred to that destruction. Extra biblical testimony from the first and second century of Christianity unanimously attributes the gospels to their traditional authors. Now, these writers are commonly referred to as the early church fathers. But again, extra biblical testimony indicates unanimously that the traditional authors of the gospels are indeed the ones who wrote those things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The gospels were copied and distributed to converts immediately after they were written. Many copies of the gospels were available by the end of the first century. The New Testament books were compiled into one volume as early as the second century. Now, secular historians also confirmed the events of the New Testament. I've already mentioned Jewish historian Josephus before AD 100. The Roman Suetonius wrote between AD 117 and 138. The Roman governor Pliny the Younger, about AD 110, recognized that Christians gathered on a certain day and sang hymns to Jesus as a god. The Roman Tacitus, who lived from AD 55 to 120, admitted that the Roman government could not stop the spread of Christianity. So again, I believe there's much evidence proving that Jesus Christ indeed rose from the dead. Now, as we bring application to this lesson on the resurrection, have you personally believed in the gospel? Have you personally believed in the gospel? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and following tells us what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. All right, are we standing in the gospel? By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Have you personally believed in the gospel? I did not say, have you prayed a prayer? But have you believed in the gospel? As I talk to many people, independent Baptists even, as to why they believe that they are going to heaven, they will say, oh, I prayed. That's not the gospel. The right answer, the biblical answer, is that I believe in what Jesus Christ did. I believe in his work on my behalf. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But let me also ask, are you so convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that you must tell others? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me, is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. In the first century, the apostles and those that they reached, those that had seen the resurrected Lord, gave reasons why they had to go in spite of persecution. In our modern day, we often give reasons why we stay, why we do not go. Are we so convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we must tell someone about it?